Now you are. You're recording.
All right, we are recording and back in session. We got time to do a few more of the initial investigative reviews. Let's go to 2249. Tracy, would you read us a summary, please?
Yes. Case 2249, the complainant is Amy Oust. The respondent is Benjamin Sabar, DBM. On October 8th, 2021, minute, an almost two-year-old female Havanese was presented to respondent premises for boarding until October 14th, 2021. The dog reportedly had one incident of diarrhea and one incident of vomiting during the stay, but remained energetic and responsive. On October 11, 2021, the dog was found deceased in her kennel. A necropsy was performed and was suggestive of acute septicemia endotoxemia. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue of no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
All right, we have no respondent, Mr. Stoll, monitoring.
Yes, sir.
No complainant. And Dr. James, you were the lead.
So this was an interesting case because I initially was like in agreement with the IC that these were two separate entities, and I don't feel like the doctor necessarily had any control over what had happened prior. But we've had other cases in boarding facilities where this exact same scenario has happened, and we have held veterinarians accountable for the process and what goes on. And so I was like, well, let me understand more about how connected they are. And when I was reviewing like website material just to see what the client, it shows one building. It shows the whole thing about connected care, and it talks about connected care on the website and making sure that your pet's going to get care regardless of what service it's in at the facility. And I just started going, this is more connected than what I think was led on in the initial discussion, at least from what I got out of the investigative committee's discussion. And because we have historically taken action on some of those, I think we need to understand that better. As far as what level of involvement does the medical team have in the procedures of the boarding facility, and how often are they connecting? Are the doctors walking through on a regular basis? Are they, like, I don't understand that here, but what I would say is it definitely looks and is clearly indicated on behalf of the company that these are a connected service. So I think at this point I would make a motion that we move it to an informal to get more information.
Second.
A motion on the floor, a second, to move 2249 to an informal. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes, and in that case we'll move to an informal. Next up is 2250. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes. Case 2250. The complainant is David Campbell. The respondent is Catalan Pet Care DBM. On September 14th, 2021, Fiona, a 12-year-old female dachshund, was presented to respondent to evaluate her eyes. The dog had pannus and bilateral corneal ulcers. Additional diagnostics and referral to an ophthalmologist was recommended. The dog was administered a steroid injection and discharged with prednisone and ophthalmic drops. On October 10th, 2021, the dog was presented to respondent for a recheck. Blood work was performed and respondent again recommended referral to an eye specialist. Complainant declined. The dog was discharged with prednisone, amoxicillin, and eye drops. On November 2nd, 2021, complainant requested an antibiotic prescription. Respondent reluctantly agreed as long as complainant scheduled an appointment with an ophthalmologist. When complainant arrived to pick up the dog's medication, complainant was verbally abusive with staff and respondent, therefore he was terminated as a client. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, we had no respondent, no complaint, nobody monitoring, and Dr. Byrne, lucky you.
Thank you, me. So, yeah, in reviewing the case,
it's apparent that the animal had a condition that was, had been looked at by two different veterinarians in two different practices. The Dr. Petsu was actually a second veterinarian that had looked at this patient with the same presenting problem. The previous veterinarian had recommended referral to an ophthalmologist, as well as this veterinarian had recommended referral on every visit, as far as I can tell. The dog was just treated symptomatically for a period of about 4 months. And at the end, the owner, I think, just kind of wanted to continue that pattern of symptomatically treating the animal, and it became a bone of contention between the two of them, and their relationship was terminated. So I would agree with the investigative committee and make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
The motion on the floor, second to dismiss 2250. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. That case is dismissed. Next up is a two-pack, 2253 and 2254. I believe the summaries are different, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. So let's take them separate, 2253.
Case 2253, the complainant is Leah Nicholas, the respondent is Kathleen Sloven, DVM. On November 17, 2021, a 85-year-old female French bulldog was presented to respond for spay and cyst removal. The surgery was performed, the dog was slow to recover and lethargic. Abdominal aspiration revealed sanguineous fluid, therefore respondent explored the dog's abdomen. Hemoabdomen was noted, but the source of bleeding could not be identified. The dog recovered slowly. Later that evening, the dog was discharged to complainant. Respondent stated that complainant was encouraged to seek follow-up care at full service veterinarian. Later that evening, the dog was taken to an emergency facility and a bleeding disorder was identified. While stabilizing the dog arrested and passed away. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board find ARS 3222-3212 as it relates to R311-5011 for failure to show respect to the animal owner by not calling the pet owner prior to the second surgery, not directly communicating to the pet owner after discharge when the pet owner was expressing concerns with the dog's condition, with all communications to place for technical staff, and not contacting the pet owner after the dog passed away. And ARS 3222-3212 as it relates to R311-5013, failure to refer the dog immediately after the second surgery to an emergency facility for continued care and monitoring due to the dog requiring a second surgery and the source of bleeding was not identified. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0. And Dr. Sloven did submit a statement for the board on May 10th, and also some text messages and pictures.
Those are all in the same folder.
Yes.
We should have seen all those. There is no respondent, no complainant, nobody monitoring. And Dr. Thompson, you've got this lead.
Yes. So with the whole process of this dog going in for the spay and having to go back in on again that day and not being referred, like, I have so many questions for the respondent in how this case was handled. And I feel that we need to ask questions. So I move to put this to an informal.
Second.
Motion of floor, a second to move to an informal. Any discussion? I guess I would ask, in the respondent's post IC statement, she basically acknowledges both of these violations happened.
Yeah.
So do we need to do an informal, or can we just do a consent agreement?
Yeah, that's, I have in my notes as well.
Hammer it
out. Do we have more questions or offer the consent now and skip that piece?
I'm open. I mean, I guess for me, it's just these are pretty decent charges, I guess, and so I would want to make sure that that's the direction that we want to go, but.
I mean, I didn't know whether the exact wording, but there was no authorization to go back in a second time. Communication was absolutely
terrible.
Because it's pretty obvious that, I mean, I could see that if your technician receptionist, whatever she was right next to you or behind you or something, and you are talking while you're working on an animal, and then she's texting or talking to the client, that's one thing. But I don't think they were in the same room. And I think there was, you know, I tell you this, you walk outside a different room, whatever, and I don't know that what you texted was exactly what I said.
That takes more time than just picking up the phone. It's back and forth. If that vet would have picked up the phone, I mean, again, that was only part of the problem, but it just seemed silly to me that there was this go-between person.
Dr. Thompson, like you, I have a lot of questions on this case that actually involve the care. And I think maybe some of your questions are involving the care. And so maybe with more discussion, there might actually be some concern about gross negligence in this case.
Additional things to add on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the motion on the floor is to move to an informal. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. 2253 will move to an informal. And then next up is 2254. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes, case 2254, the complainant is William and Leah Nicholas. The respondent is Elena Alt, UVM. On November 17th, 2021, Minnie, the 5-year-old female French bulldog, was presented to respondent on emergency due to post-surgical complications after a stated procedure. The dog was lateral recumbent and in critical condition. Hospitalization for diagnostics and stabilization was recommended and approved. It was determined that the dog likely had a bleeding disorder, therefore plasma transfusion, vitamin K, and union bile was recommended. While waiting for the plasma to defrost, the dog went into cardiopulmonary arrest. CPR was initiated and was successful. A short time later, the dog arrested again. CPR was started but discontinued due to lack of response and poor prognosis recovery. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
If no respondent, Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant. And Dr. Thompson, you're up again.
Yes, and with this case, given that they're kind of fell in together, I feel like the same motion to go to an informal. There was a couple of questions as the timing of, in one hand, it wasn't ideal, it didn't matter if we gave the vitamin K because it wasn't going to make a difference, but yet after the dog coated, we then rushed to give it, and then the dog coated again. What was, you know, what changed all of a sudden that kind of made us want to go that route? And then seeing if there's any information that comes from the first informal that lends to this case.
I kind of felt with this case that this vet was up against a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dog came in laterally recumbent, there had been multiple surgeries already done that day. There's some level of stabilization that has to happen before you can even consider recutting this dog for the third time in one day, and they just couldn't get the dog stabilized. And I didn't necessarily, I mean, I think there were some go back and forth, but I didn't see anything to me that made me go, this was out of line or anything. I mean, I probably would go no violations on this one, but I could support either direction. I just didn't see anything that made me jump up and down.
This doctor had
It was a crappy.
Mess of a case, and it, I mean,
I can go either way. I had also written no violation on that one, but I'm not the vet, so.
Yeah, I mean, my initial reading of it was no violation, and then I was going through it a little bit more, and that was just a couple questions I had. Again, it's also because it's paired with the other one that was the only, that was like the thing that was kind of pushing me towards making it more of an informal, but I could go either way.
Did we ever get a second?
No, I don't believe.
I was leaning toward this mess just because, yeah, it looked like it was too little too late, and I mean, she just didn't have a chance. I mean, because you can't, some things you can't do immediately. You gotta thaw the plasma out and you gotta do it right. Or you ruin it and it's not gonna work, so. I mean, yeah, I don't, it was a no-win situation. I don't see how it would have been a miracle. And then the complaint would have happened, right? But it truly would have been a miracle. So, yeah, so no second, that motion dies.
I'll make a motion in the case of 2254 that we find no violations of our practice actor rules.
Second.
Motion for a second to dismiss 2254. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. 2254 dismissed. And we still have more time here. We are down to 2279. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes, case 2279, the complainant is Jennifer Barncastle. The respondent is Tatum Wells, DVM. On December 14th, 2021, letter, a 7-year-old male with domestic short hair cat was presented to the respondent for community mutilation. Respondent examined the cat and could not identify a reason to euthanize the cat. She discussed treatment options with the complainant. The complainant approved, medication was dispensed, and the cat was discharged. This case did not go in front of the investigative committee. I brought it directly to you for review and discussion.
So we had. I'm shocked we don't have a respondent, or the complaint's the one I'm not shocked we don't have. This case came straight to the board, nobody monitoring, and Dr. Byrne, I don't know how you got so lucky. This is your lead.
Yeah, this one was interesting. So this case was brought directly to the board. And yeah, it's interesting on a couple of aspects, because for one, there doesn't seem to be any correct correlation between what was complained about and what is in the medical record. And the complainant actually, in her complaint, had actually stated that she didn't request that Dr. Wells be requested that she be, or they be undamaged, and that she was unconscious of what had happened. She'd also made a request that another veterinarian that worked at the University of Arizona review the case, and they had responded back that they had no information or no experience with anything that was going on. So it's kind of confusing. So I would make a motion to dismiss case 2279.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 2279. Is there any further discussion?
I would just be curious how the cat then mysteriously died.
Well, it doesn't say where, when.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no details.
Yeah.
So in my notes here, sometimes I write down something. In this, there was actually a country song wrote about this. And part of the lyrics are, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
Beer is really good.
All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. 2279 is dismissed. And we have time for this last one. 2213. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes, case 22113, the complainant is Dick Goodnight. The respondent is Melissa Berthium, UVM. On March 22nd, 2022, complainant called to request medication to resolve his bowel diarrhea. Lucy, a 7-year-old female Bashan, had not been examined since April of 2020. Therefore, the request was denied. And this did not go in front of the investigative committee. It went straight to you for your review and discussion.
Here we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant. And Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yes. Okay. So, reading the complaint, I can understand being upset that you can't get a medication refilled for something that seems to happen very frequently. And obviously, veterinarians are incredibly busy and getting an appointment can take some time. So I was able to, empathize. But then you look and see that was almost 2 years prior, and there was a canceled appointment just before that. I was a little confused, and then there was many requests in between the last visit of sending records other places, and this pet had gone there several times in between, but it was for grooming. I don't know if there was some confusion between going to the vet practice and getting groomed and going to the vet practice and getting seen by a veterinarian, very different things. And so there's also a reference of they used to have 11 vets and now there's two, and that may tell you something. And I would say it goes both ways. That might tell you something, there may not be the same availability. And so I did, look at, again, he was told that it's, against the law to do this. And I'm like, well, I think that sometimes the delivery of that message is what really upsets clients. And so hopefully if anybody listens to this, not a really great approach, that whole bureaucratic, it's illegal, it's not helpful. When you look at ARS 32-2201-25B, veterinary client patient relationship, it does say they have to have sufficient knowledge of the animal. It has to have been recently seen. There is no definition about that amount of time. So veterinarians, and within the practice, the responsible veterinarian, have to determine what that recently seen means. It's not a set number of days, months, anything like that. And so where I think everybody would agree that the amount of time between when this pet was seen by this practice was appropriate, the vet had been seen other places, and maybe that was, something that should have been taken into account by the owner. So where I think that communication done well and delicately could have prevented this person from being upset, that was the path that was chosen. And so for that, I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation. But I do have an aside, so before we move on, I don't know if I should add that now or not.
I guess they want to hear that before they second it.
Maybe. The responsible veterinarian issues are ridiculous. I don't know if anybody's paid attention to the number of cases where it's like, oh, wait, I haven't been the responsible veterinarian there for this long, and it was an administrative mistake by somebody else, right? I don't know if there is a way to get that message across. Like, do we issue a letter of concern saying, hey, not their fault, this is you, you're the responsible veterinarian, right?
Right.
So I don't know if you add that in, but I would also like to ask, the board staff, can we add it in the newsletter? Like, hey, by the way, if you're a responsible veterinarian, it's your responsibility to say you're not anymore. And I know whenever there's a corporate group, you might get moved to place or whatever, but it's your license, yeah. So not theirs.
Right.
So anyways, that was just my aside. It's been so often lately that's coming up that it's kind of not the corporation's responsibility.
So a letter of concern is non-disciplinary, so you want to dismiss with a letter of concern? That they didn't report, they were no longer.
I that's my motion, and that's kind of my side. But.
Did Yeah, is it typically the vet practice when the person moves on? I understand what you're saying, they need to make sure, but who isn't it the...
It's always the licensee.
It's technically...
Because I thought it was the incoming person then that would need to get that changed as well.
But there may not have been another one, so it's like they're working on finding one.
Okay.
Like, oh, they didn't have one, they had that one.
So, again,
that was the comment that was made by the veterinarian. I don't know if it was different on the other side, and I don't know that that matters, but... Just like kind of a reminder, this is your license, it's nobody else's.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah.
Again, I don't see any violation with this situation. I just think that part going to her could have been avoided.
Exactly.
Could have saved some grief and time for her.
Yeah, I agree. And we do see a lot of these.
It's just been an influx, like, seems.
So we still don't have a second.
Second.
Okay. Now we got a second. Motion on the floor is to dismiss with the aside. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. 22-113 is dismissed. And that takes care of our initial investigative reviews. Now,